But looking at his overall life and listening to what other people said about him and so on and so forth, I came from the conclusion, he said, the one thing he said, they said to me was, the first thing they said, he wasn't a religious person. And I said, okay. I said, you know, that's fine. And it stopped me thinking about being a religious person and what a religious person looks like and acts like and talks like. And sometimes when we get involved in church and being churchy, we become more religious than we think. Mm-hmm. We start thinking that church is the ultimate goal of God, was to get us into a church. It wasn't.
It wasn't.
His ultimate goal is to get you there. Yeah. All right? He wants to spend eternity with you. That's why he sent his son down here to die for our sins, to take upon himself all our sins and all our iniquities and all the things that we've done in our lives. And so as I did the message, it was one of, I pray, hope, but also the revelation that you can live this life one of two ways, with or without God. And that is what we try to bring across when we say, talk about going to church. I like, and people, and I got a chance to talk to quite a few people. Most of them, I'm not sure where they stand. They did hear, but I don't know where they stand. There, some people were very joyful about the message. Others were kind of quiet, which is typical when you're doing a funeral, because for many reasons. Anyways, so I was there and talking to one gentleman, and he was talking about when he was 11 years old, he fell out of a second-story window, and he died, literally. Matter of fact, he woke up in a slab in the morgue at 11 years old. He had gone to heaven. And he said, I said, well, what did you see? And he said, well, I began with a big light. Now, I didn't have a lot of time to spend with him. And he said, I saw this gigantic, beautiful light. He said, I was at peace. I was full of joy. And I was just happy. And he said, I was going into someplace. And then we kind of had to separate because there were just too many things going on there. But because he came up out of that grave, we have that ultimate hope in us of that eternal glory and joy and peace. Because if he didn't come out of that grave, we're in trouble. They were telling me, one guy come up to me and he says, you know, I've watched you over the years because they were going to live around here. And I'd listen to you once in a while. I'd hear you talking and all this. And he said, it really strikes me how good a person you are. And I just looked at him and laughed. I said, no. I said, that's all what you see, but you don't know the truth. The truth about the resurrection is that Jesus still loves me. The truth about the resurrection is I still have hope. What is my hope in? Not only to go there. My hope is he'll continue to work in me, to transform me, to change that which I know he hates and I don't like either.
Amen.
I haven't got to the point of hating it. If I hated it, I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Amen? But I have gotten to the point that I understand he hates it. And because he hates it, I want to hate it. Because he loves me, I want to love me. Not in the sense of man's love for self. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about me being a signpost to others. I want my life to have meaning. Look, the truth is, when we pass from this life, we leave a few people behind who remember us. Some of us like us. Some of us don't. Some are happy that we're gone. Come on now, be honest with it. And some aren't so happy. Some of them are going to weep and some are going to rejoice. Amen? But the legacy we leave behind is those that we have left a word of faith and hope in Christ. That message that you leave behind about the resurrected King of Kings is what will be remembered through all eternity. Jesus himself will record it in heaven. When we understand that every word we speak is being written down in heaven right now. Now it got quiet. Every word. Good, bad, or ugly. Amen? But the good news, it can't keep us out of heaven. All those nasty words we've spoken, all those nasty things we've said to other people, it doesn't keep us out of heaven. God has given us a way where there seems to be no way. No man that's dead could ever bring life to you. No man that's dead could ever bring life to you. When you, praise God. When I, let's put me, if the Lord should tarry, and he doesn't come back as quickly as I'd like, and I go the way of the grave, I pray that people will stand there and say, not that he was a good man, but that he believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior and Redeemer, and because he lived, I know he's alive right now in heaven. Amen. That's what I want you to remember. That's what I want you to say. Because there is a real heaven and there is a real hell, and everybody has a choice where they go. God has laid before them life and death, cursing and blessing, you choose. And because God knew that we are ignorant at times, he told us what to choose. Amen? Here's the answer. Look, he says, there's a box over here. You can either check this one, blessing, or you can check this one, cursing. You choose which one you want. Then he said, I'm going to give you another choice, death or life. You choose which one you want. But as for me, he said, if I was you, I would choose life. Amen? The question is, what is life? Remember I told you that before? I said to God, God said, tell him about life. I said, what about life? I don't know what life is. I live just like everybody else with the same thoughts, the same fears at times, the same cares. Oh, I don't afraid of nothing. Well, praise God for you. You've raised up way far higher than I have. So what is life? God said this. He said, life is in me. So in Christ, in God, there is life. So if you want to choose life, choose him. Amen? Then you choose the life that you want. Now you choose the life you want in him. Amen? Hallelujah. So what's the resurrection mean to you? What does the resurrection mean to you? You know, most of you here know, you've read the Bible. You know what the Bible says about the resurrected. But what does it mean to you? There's a lot of things in this Bible right here that I watch people's lives and I don't see it manifested. But it's theirs. Right? So what's a resurrected life mean to you? If Jesus stood before you now and he said, me coming up out of the grave, what does it do for you? What does it mean to you? I'm not talking about a religious activity. I'm not trying to sit there and think, okay, what did he say about the resurrection? What did he say? No. In your heart, it comes out of the abundance of the heart. What is it? Has something happened to your life? Is there something happening? Is there something going on? Because if you can't answer that, are you sure that you really believe in the resurrection? Amen? And that's an honest question to ask ourselves. I'm not asking you personally, but I'm asking myself. My whole thoughts this morning, I kept going through and I got all this stuff and then I go, really, the only thing that really matters is what it means to me. Amen? What has it done for me? In other words, not... You can give biblical answers. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as that's your truth. But I live not always in the biblical sense. Sometimes I get worldly. Sometimes I live in the world out there. When I'm not studying the word, or I'm not praying, or I'm not doing those things, I get into the flesh. People get me angry. People say things, do things to just confound me. I don't get it. And I have to sit back and wait and say, okay, Lord, what now? What do I do? But what does it mean if it was just you and him, and Jesus came up out of that grave, which he did, and it is just about you and him? Because in that day, you can't stand before the master and say, well, Pastor Dave said. And Pastor Dave didn't treat me that way, didn't say that to me, didn't hug me that day, or whatever. You stand there with him and you, and there it is. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I got a few couple scriptures I might get into, might not, depending on you. What I want you to do is share with all of us. You don't have to get up. You can sit right where you're at. And you don't all have to do that. And you're not a bad person if you don't do that. And it doesn't mean you're not saved if you don't do that. It just, do you want to? Is it in your heart to share the good news of what Christ means to you about coming up out of that grave? If it passes you by, and I'm going to hand the mic out, if it passes you by, don't feel bad. Oh, no. People think there's something wrong with me if I don't do it. Stop. It's not meant to embarrass. It's meant to give glory to the risen King of Kings. You can glorify him with your words. This is what you've done for me, Jesus. Amen? Mommy, I'll start. How's that? To make it easier. What does it mean to me? I didn't really understand life until I received life. I thought all this stuff out here I was doing, oh yeah, all my sins and all this other stuff and all this and that, yeah, that's all part of it. But that's not what it was about. I remember, and I've told you this story before, so I'll say it again. Because I remember it. I said it enough times, I finally registered. I was coming home one night, drunk as usual for me. Parked my car. I had a little sports car, a little fun car. And I walked out in a starry night, beautiful night out. Stars, I don't know, sometime in the morning, don't know what time it was. All I can remember is looking up and I'm saying out loud to nobody else, because nobody else was there, there's got to be more to life than this. I was in my 20s, I think, at the time. But I know because of that one statement, I was looking for life, and I didn't even know what life was until life came in and filled my heart. It didn't make me dance and shout. It made me weep and cry. The wasted hours and days and months and money spent on garbage and junk that has no life in it whatsoever. It satisfied the flesh but never dealt with what's really wrong inside. Never changed the heart. It took a long time. It was a journey of years past that point till I got to the place where I experienced life itself. I really experienced it for the first time up in the loft over here in that American Legion up on top, when we used to hold services, church services up there. And all of a sudden, that day, for both of us, Diane and I, life came in. Cried through the whole service. I didn't even have a clue what was going on. All I could see were those hands right there. Same picture. In those hands, I looked at him. I went up to the pastor afterwards, which I had met one time before. I hardly knew the guy. And I said, you got to do a message about those hands. Because there's something about the hands. I know now what it is. I'm in his hands. And I never knew it until I had to learn that over process of time and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But I have life in me, not my own. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And he changed my life, and he's changing my life. And for that reason, I rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The one God who's alive today, bodily came up out of the grave. No one else has ever done that. And he's alive. Because he lives, I'm alive. And all my mess ups and all the junk that I've gone through and all the things I continue to do wrong and all the weakness of the flesh and all the fears and the cares and the worries and all the other junk. It is what it is. He's still alive. He talks to me contrary to what Joy Bear thinks. Her problem is, he said, my sheep know my voice. She's not one of his, so she doesn't know his voice. And that's not putting her down, that's praying for her, saying, Lord, can you imagine if the Holy Spirit got a hold of her and she received that life in her, and then all of a sudden she gets on that stage and she has to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. But he does talk to me. And it's so wonderful to hear his voice. So the resurrection means to me is life. Listen, and I, how I experience life in Christ may be different how you experience it. You understand? It doesn't have to all be the same. Amen? You just know that you know that you know he's alive. And because he lives, I live also. Amen. And it's the life worth living. Let me tell you something. If they took everything from me, it's still a life worth living. Because he lives with me. Amen. That's what it means for me for the resurrection. We'll start with...
Hey. I felt it.
Yeah, I know. But it also, like Pastor said, but... It means life for me because I was living a life that I was going to hell, but I didn't know it. And when he came into my life, it's a life that never in my entire life I thought I would experience or know. And I continue to learn each and every day what it means to truly live in Christ. And it's something that I don't take for granted. And I thank him for going to that cross. I thank him for rising up from the dead, because he lives, I live also, and that's what it means to me.
Amen.
I could take a pass. Okay. Watch this.
I thank Jesus for what he's done for me, and everything that I've been able to leave at the cross because of the cross. I was living a life where it wasn't a good life. I didn't know love, but when he died on that cross and I accepted him, love came into my heart. He's changed me to a better person because of the cross. I have left hatred at the cross. There's so many things that I've left at the cross that have changed me to who I am today. I don't react like I used to because of him. I don't get offended like I used to because of the cross. He's just made me a person that loves him. And he died for me, and if I was the only one there, I know he would have died for me there too. And I just thank him that he found me worthy to come to the kingdom and to reach out and come into my heart. And there's so many things I'd like to say, but it's kind of hard to say. But I've left everything there, and he's molding me into who I am. And some people might not like it, but my Lord likes it, and that's all that matters.
First, before you go that back, are you going to do it? Go across the front. Bev?
it has given me great hope. Hope for everything. Thank you.
When you first mentioned this, the only thing I could think of is my second chance. I get second chances every day. That when I foul up, I do things that are not right, he doesn't forget about me or get angry with me. He gives me a second chance. And, you know, yes, life, love, forgiveness, all of that, but that's what came to me, was the fact that he does give me mercy. He gives me a second chance.
Amen. When you said, what did I think? The first thing that came to me was life, eternal life. And I thank him every day for leading me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
I just think that I'm just so thankful that he died for me and rose again, because with him, I don't have to take and be anything but myself. And he still loves me, and that's all that matters.
I'm just thankful for the peace of God. I know it passes understanding. You don't think about it every day, but when you do something that causes that peace to lift, you know immediately that it's gone. I thank God that he's a God of second chances, and that he leads us and he guides us every single day into a deeper walk with him. I know at school the other day, I did something that I knew as soon as I put that bus in park that I had done the wrong thing, because the peace lifted. I felt it leave. And until I made it right, it didn't come back. And I'm so thankful to God that he loves me enough to do that, that he doesn't let me walk off the path that he's put my feet on and not know that I've strayed. I knew instantly that what I had done was wrong. And I had to go back and repent, and I had to go back and repent to the person I did it to. Humbling. But I'm just so thankful to God that he does that he loves us, that he's given us new life. And he's faithful and just to us all.
I guess mine would be hope. I got saved when my first wife had left with my three kids and left me, and that's when I got saved. And Jesus was there through divorces, deaths, loss of finances, down to almost to ruins. He's there. So I know that he's my hope for now and for the future, which is eternity.
The resurrection to me means that not only is it now safe to approach a holy, righteous God, I'm welcome to do so. I am welcomed and called. It's an assurance that I won't be rejected ever, that I'll always be loved, and that I'm taken care of. And it's an awesome feeling to be chosen like that. The world can be cold and hard, and you just to know that I'm always going to be treated like a favored daughter. It's awesome.
I think to me it means freedom. I've been a Christian my whole life, so I never really knew the other side of it. And when I was a teenager, I used to think that I was missing out on something because everyone else would be partying and, you know, drugs and drinking and having fun and doing whatever they wanted to do. And I used to think, I can't because I'll feel guilty. I can't because, you know what I mean? I thought I was missing out. And it wasn't until I really, like, sat down and let him have his way in me that I realized that I am more free than any of them, free from depression and darkness and sin and anger and anxiety and everything that used to wear me down. It is freedom.
To me, the resurrection means hope in life. From the moment he was nailed on that cross, my sin kept him there. And from the moment he was resurrected, he gave all his love and passion to save all of us and to save me. Amen. By his scars and by his stripes, I'm healed.
Well, I'm thankful for the Lord found me when I was fairly young, and he has guided my path all these years. And I'm looking forward to the resurrection for all of us and eternal life.
I don't speak in public. I've escaped deaths many times, several times. Doctors didn't want to do anything at all. Go on and come back. God must have a purpose for me. I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm still here. And I thank God and my wife.
Amen. I just thank God that he came down for us and rose for us. And I've been sorry for all my sins that I used to have. I'm a different person than I used to be, I believe.
First of all, I thank God that every day is Christmas and every day is Resurrection Sunday. If it's not part of your life every day, I don't know what is. That was one of the first things when I first asked Jesus into my heart. I noticed every day I was thinking about him all the time. And I was like, oh, this must really be real because I never did that before. And it occurred to me, what was I thinking about all the time? You know, I mean, after all this time, I'm used to it, but what was I thinking about? How did I survive? But the other thing it was purpose. Because I think the hunger or the question that a lot of people have, if not all, is what am I doing here? And it was a simple answer at the time. I've since made it more complicated. But his answer was, my purpose was to live on this earth and worship God. And that's such a freedom. It's such a relief. It's such a joy. It's it brings peace. It's just all of those things.
Jesus' resurrection, yeah, guaranteed us life. But Bev mentioned a hope. You know, that hope is what kept me going for years. You know, is that I knew where I was going. You know, I knew I was going to heaven. So the fear of death sort of left, which was great. And Deanna mentioned freedom. But I also noticed the freedom of, I can never understand. I remember I used to hear Christians say, freedom in God. You know, and it's like Deanna said, I don't miss. I always felt the draw. I have to go out and party because everybody else is. If you're not, you're missing out in life. And that, so there was that god-awful push to go out. But there's also freedom in I don't have to sin. I look at the world. The world's got to sin. They still have the sin nature. But I realize that I can go to God and have that sin taken away. I don't have to sin. That freedom to me is like, you know, it still amazes me. But the knowledge he also gives us, the wisdom. They say there's three philosophical questions all religions ask, basically. It's, you know, why are we here? Where do we come from? And where are we going? And God answers all of those for us. Every one of those questions, the secrets are gone. We know why we're here, where we're going. And it's a great comfort. You know, it's you can act more freely, I guess. But God's great, anyways.
I like Alex's answer. Says he saved. I would say I'm not perfect. God saves me every day, and to know that, I'm really relieved. And I pray for everybody here, and I pray for everybody at work, and I pray for my wife, and that she's perfect, and she loves me unconditionally, and my mother and father-in-law, that they love me. I have to do the dishes, though, obviously, but still. I didn't say it was perfect, though. But on that, I'm blessed every day. I have loss. I miss my dad, and you know, I'm glad I moved out of my mother's house, and just blessed every day. So.
The word resurrection to me is that God's, every word in that Bible is true, that he died, came back, and we all have promises to be kept due to that one promise right there.
As I sat here, I thought about my life and where it would be if it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ. And I can tell you emphatically, I would be a relentless, ruthless, and miserable person, that I can tell you from the times that I've strayed from his love who I've turned into. And there's no doubt in my mind as I listened to Deanna, I did the experimenting, and I wasn't a kid. And it might not have been the drugs and not so much the alcohol, but it was the business, and it was who I was as a person and who I couldn't stand when I saw in the mirror every morning. But I didn't leave it lay there, because I rolled it over in my head and I thought, wow, when I turned my heart back to him and found my way back into his love, the resurrection changed who I was as a person and just filled my life with the two things that really sprang out in my mind outside of his love was the loving wife that I never thought I'd ever find, and the loving church family that means so much to me. And I thank God every day for those relationships. And I thank God for his resurrection.
I wasn't going to speak, but you guys really tug at my heart. So I think of hope, and when I started coming here, I had a new hope on life, and I just thought it was amazing because the church name was New Hope for Life, and I just thought it was a perfect match. Amen.
like so many people in here, none of us are perfect. I'm a work in progress. I came here a little less than a year ago. I can't see myself going anywhere else. What I'm thankful for is the open heart and open arms. I've been down a troubled road many, many times. I've been down the right path many, many times, but I veer from it. I don't plan on going that way this time.
Thank you. So unlike Ken Thompson, I never had any illusion that I would actually go to heaven. In my upbringing as a young child, a young adult, even as an older adult, the indoctrination of you do something wrong, God doesn't love you, you know, the guilt that it would, you know, instill in me from, I guess, the day I was born until I turned my life over to Christ instead of over to the church. And basically, the church I went to caused me to even question, why, Jesus, did you have to do that? Now I feel guilty about you dying. I remember walking out of church for the last time right around Good Friday and thinking that thought. And I never thought that I could be ever forgiven for anything. So what I know now, I'm not a religion person. I am a faith person now. And what I know now is that Jesus died, and nobody can tell me that he died just to die for us. He died because he took away our sickness, our sins, and that's forever. If you look at the early Christians, they died to give us that word. It's so true. And now I'm a believer. I'm not a doer.
I have a shirt that I wear this time of year and lots of other time, too. It says forgiven. And he was the only one that could do that for me. If he didn't come out of that grave, my sins would not have been forgiven. He was the only one that could pay the price for me. My sins were nailed upon a cross, and I am no longer lost. I was bought with a price and given strength to live my life.
Resurrection means to me life, grace, and favor.
Me, resurrection means a way out. A way out of this world, a way out of sin, and a way out of death.
Resurrection is the thing that makes this hopeful, life-filled relationship with Christ and not just a dead, empty religious activity. If everything had ended with the cross, if, you know, that was it, you know, we wouldn't have been given the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus would still be in the tomb, and would this really be that much different than any of the other big religions out there? But the fact that, you know, God, you know, went and raised Jesus up from the dead and, you know, brought him up and seated him at the right hand, I mean, that brings us hope that, you know, that right there is, you know, to me, it's the fulfillment of God's law right there. You know, it's to the point where we don't have to try ourselves to be perfect. You know, read, you know, if you haven't, you know, sometime just read, you know, like in the Old Testament, in, you know, places like Leviticus, Numbers, you see what God's standard is. It's like, you know, we can't meet that. God doesn't change. That's still what his standard is. But through the resurrected Christ, you know, because we have his spirit in us, because we have a renewed heart, excuse me, you know, because of the cross and the resurrection, we can attain to that standard. We have a hope, you know. We don't have to wallow in the same mire as the world. We can rise above it. What did he say? You know, we can be up and seated with him in heavenly places.
Praise God. Amen. Anybody else? I think everybody got it. Hallelujah. Well, all I can say is this, praise God. Every one of your statements is worthy of a message. You all are a living message of the resurrection. And that's an amazing fact because it's so diverse, so different. Each one of us, yes, there's some components of it, obviously, will always be the same, but you're coming from it from your perspective of what it means, and that's really what it's all about. I can share with you my perspective. I can take it out of the Word of God and apply it to you and share it with you through a message. But unless it's in your heart, it just words being spoken and let's get on with life. We've got other things to do. But you really came to understand, I believe, everyone here, the importance of the resurrection. Because if he is not alive, we won't ever be alive either. Amen? Now, most every religion has some form of afterlife. Almost every one of them, some form of this or that. So I was talking to someone at the funeral, and he was saying, yeah, he said, I've been looking at the Hindus, and they believe that you can come back as something else. And I didn't want to tell him what I thought, but about what you might come back as, it would not be. Can you imagine coming back as a deer and the hunter shoot you and then eat you? No, I don't think that's a good idea. But it's out there. There's so many different forms. All of them, they're looking at this and they're saying, what's the difference between your religion and this religion? We have now, even in Christianity, we have many people preaching that we serve the same God as the God of the Muslim. No, we don't. The God of the Muslim never came and died for them. Ours did. They had what they call a prophet, Muhammad. Yes, but he died, went in the grave, and he's still in the grave. Our Jesus came, died. Yes, went in the grave. Yes, but he didn't stay there. He came out. Thank you, Jesus. And it's about a relationship. He didn't come out of the grave just to show you that he came out of the grave. Came out of the grave so he can have an ongoing relationship 2,000 years later with us, as he had with the disciples as they walked through Israel, as he walked in the land down there with them. He walks with us today. You're not alone. Somebody said that. You're never alone. You never have to feel lonely. Think about it. What God did by coming up out of that grave. He went to heaven, ascended on high, remember? And what did he do? He sent back the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to comfort us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to keep us. Only our God did that. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not going to spend the message. You guys were the message this morning. I keep saying that. And I understand why God. Hallelujah. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not raise. So in other words, everything we believe, everything we preach, everything we do is false. Has no power. No reality to it. If Christ didn't come up out of the grave, then everything that you believe, everything that's happened to you is false. It's empty. Useless. There's no life there because he stayed in the grave. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, Your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In other words, we have our loved ones who went before us, and we'll never see them again if he hasn't risen from the grave. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. This goes beyond the grave. Your body will go in the grave if the Lord should tarry. That happens to everybody. I was sitting and talking to a couple that they want their vows renewed. I had married them 10 years ago. They wanted their vows renewed. So we got to sit and talk, and as I was talking to him about the service, all of a sudden we got on the conversation of Jesus. I don't know how that happens. It just does. And we started talking, and I started explaining to him what it really is to be a person, a creation of God, your spirit, soul, and body, explaining all that. Never heard of such a thing. Never heard of that stuff. I said, when your body goes in the grave, your spirit and your soul is released just like that. Before it gets in the grave, the moment your body ceases to function, your spirit and soul are released. They're eternal. They're going to go someplace. They're not little ghosts walking around here with a bed sheet on, walking and scaring people. They're real. You're real. You understand that? You're real. The body may not come up out of the grave right away unless the Lord comes back and we're caught up with him as the rapture. Yes, that might happen. Praise God. Let's hope and pray that it does. But day will come when this person and the tent that it lives in will be taken apart, put in the grave. And the spirit and the soul that I am will ascend up into the kingdom of God, and I'll be with him forever. But then I expect to see you guys here. Every one of you. I don't want to stand that day when he sets up his throne down here and he makes a judgment, the white throne judgment. He stands there and he judges the goats from the sheep. And he said the sheep will go to his right hand, the goats to the left. The sheep will go to eternal life. The goats are going to go to eternal damnation. God's word, not mine. I would hate to think that I stood there at that throne and watched one of you go to hell. It'd kill me. You think that that would rejoice in that? No. God says he doesn't rejoice. Even when one sinner dies, God doesn't get joy in that. God sent his son to save everyone. He dealt with the sins at the cross and proved that he was an accepted sacrifice. God brought him back to life out of the grave. Praise God. We have an eternity to live together, whether you like it or not. Some of you might live right next to me. Our basement looks a lot better in heaven than it does down here. I tell you that right now.
Even the shed.
Even the shed is better, yeah. Amen? But it's really all about. Some things down here I've come to understand, I'm not going to get what I want. Amen? There's some things down here I'm just not going to get it. For whatever reason. Maybe my faith isn't strong enough. Maybe whatever. Maybe God said just, nah, you can't have that. I don't know. What is it God would tell you can't? I don't know. All I know is a lot of the things I want, I don't have. But the thing I need, I do have. A resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's alive. And because he lives, I live also. And I live not just for this moment. Once we came into the kingdom, once we accepted Christ and his sacrifice at the cross for our sins, once we recognized that he's alive and came up out of that grave, once that happened, you began eternity at that moment. From that moment on, eternal life was yours. That's awesome. So you don't have to wait to get to heaven to see the kingdom of God, because you can find peace and joy in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right here. You can find out that you can talk to your God and you can ask him for things of need, and God is saying, I've already provided, go ahead and do it. Amen? God's that way. It doesn't always mean you get what you want. If we get always what we want, we got to set God aside somewhat. Because most of our wants are fleshly. And the two of them can't coexist together at times. The world and God and the kingdom, you can't coexist. One, you're going to learn to hate, and you're going to love the other. You're going to love the one and hate the other. You can't serve two masters. And trust me when I tell you this. The world is deadly master. He did not bring, the world will not bring you freedom. No matter how good it looks, no matter how good it tastes, no matter how good things are going on, this world promises you life and gives you death. God promises you death and gives you life. That's the way of God. But in that way, you can experience the goodness of God here in the land of the living. And the goodness of God is a joy in your heart that surpasses everything. I remember one time we were here in Deanna's testimony, and she said, I'm happy. It wasn't always so, though, was it? A little girl who, you don't mind if I say a few things about you. I'll say, I won't only say what you've said, all right? Very depressed at times. Very want to get into bed and cover your head and didn't know where you're going. All of a sudden, poof, just like that. Poof, I died with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Look what God has done. Look at your lives. I'm blessed. MK, you just began the journey. Watch. Watch what's coming your way. You're going to experience and know things you never thought possible. Only comes out of a relationship who is the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who created all things. And in all things, he created it for himself. For him, he now lives in you. The living word of God lives in you. That's an amazing fact. When you stop saying to yourself, I can't, and start saying, I can, do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stop saying I can't. Stop saying it won't. Believe God, the risen King of Kings, is capable of doing everything necessary to bring you a good and godly life. It may not be perfect in all what the world looks at as perfection, but you can find joy and peace, happiness, if you're in a ditch, digging a ditch. Paul found it while he was in prison. Paul learned what it means to be a member of the kingdom of God and having Jesus Christ as a resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Paul was one, I'm sure, who would have stood there and cheered on the fact that Jesus being whipped and nailed to a cross. He would have, because he did it with Stephen. But he met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on a way to persecute the rest of the church, and all of a sudden, in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, he went from being a persecutor and a one who agreed to the king and killing of people to the one saying to Jesus, what would you have me do now, Lord? In a second, the transformation of a life. We heard it all here. Your lives were transformed from being a one of selfishness, one of greed, one of want, to one filled with the riches that cannot be bought with human money. The resurrected King of Kings is alive. He's alive in you, and he is alive waiting to greet us right there. And when you look back and all the things you look back on, and trust me, I believe it, the one young man, he's not as old as I am, but not many are. He was old, but... And he said, when I entered into that light, he said, my whole life went before me. Every part of it, he said, I saw it all. At 11 years old, he saw it all. And he said, when I came back, he said, I live my life differently. He said, I'm different. I mean, from a lot. Now, he's probably in his 50s now, or 60s, 50s probably, I'm going to guess. But from the point he came back as an 11-year-old young man, having a glimpse of what it is in the resurrected life, changed his whole life. That's an amazing fact. Sometimes I would love to have God open the windows of heaven and open our eyes to be able to see into the realm of the kingdom of God, see in that heavenly place what God has prepared for you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived of all the good things God has prepared for you. He has prepared a mansion for you. He has prepared a place for you where there be no more sickness, no more disease, no more sadness, no more fear. The greatest weapon of the enemy, fear. And it can't enter into where you're going. But down here, once you understand that death no longer has power over you, because he lives, you live also. Death is not the cessation of who you are. It's a separation from the body. But you're alive in Christ. And when you get to heaven, you will still know, you'll still see, you'll still recognize who you are. But you'll be a better person. Only because the body of sin has been left behind. And the purity of the Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, has been raised into new life. Amen. The resurrection. Enjoy it. Now, okay, we're going to close for a minute. Then I want to share a couple things with you quick. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you chose us. Just like you chose to go to the cross, nobody forced you into it. Lord, just like you were raised from the dead, because God chose to raise you from the dead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just as we were chosen, we were buried with him, and we have arisen with him, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Thank you for the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A couple of things I just want to say.